From bureaus worldwide, this is FSN.
Thank you, Simon. Welcome to Tuesday's Richie Allen Show, the 5th of January 2021. How are you? Are you well? Are you cold? You might not be. Great programme lined up, two terrific guests. Let's get on with it.
It's the BBG, not the BBC. You're listening to the Richie Allen Radio Show, live from Salford in Greater Manchester.
It's the Richie Allen Show, broadcasting live on richieallen.co.uk and multiple platforms around the world. And now, here's your host, Richie Allen.
I will be speaking with Harry Vox from voxnews.com in hour two about the Great Reset. Last spoke with Harry the first time, in fact, was back in June. It's the only time he's been on. It's about time he came back on. He was recently deleted or banned from Twitter. Won't dwell too much on that. It's happening to a lot of people. The Great Reset. Klaus Schwab with Harry, or Schwab with Harry Vox later on. Before that, Piers Corbyn, the meteorologist, the scientist. And no new normal. Stop new normal. Stop new normal, or nonewnormal.net. Stopnewnormal.net. That's the one. Stopnewnormal.net. Piers Corbyn will be running for the Mayor of London, believe it or not. He's a regular guest on this programme. And he will join me in around about 20 minutes' time, so don't miss that. Pretty busy old programme then for Tuesday. And we better crack right on. Few things we need to get through before we get Piers on. Hi to Deborah Reid in Tronvour in Port Lauderdale. That's Tremor, by the way. A legendary seaside resort in Waterford. Deborah tells me, sadly, that she was personally escorted from a supermarket in Tremor this morning because she very politely refused to wear a mask. She's never worn one and has never had any hassle in that particular shop or anywhere else. But she is a diabetic, not on medication at the moment, restricted to what she can eat and drink. And unfortunately, the supermarket in question is the only place that sells the food she needs. She says, I cannot express how much I want to kick the whole off all of those you listed today, Richie. This is getting beyond belief at this stage. It doesn't get any more Irish a colloquialism than kick the whole off of. Kick the whole off of. I sympathise with you, Deborah. I listed a few journalists on Twitter today and compared them to Lord Ho-Ho and Comic Al-Ali. Remember Comic Al-Ali? Woke up to a third national lockdown today that will go on to Easter, by all accounts, or until 17 million very vulnerable folks are vaccinated. Boris Johnson was on telly at 8 o'clock last night. You probably watched it, maybe you didn't. Billions more will be borrowed, billions more money. Government bonds will be sold, it'll be picked up by the Bank of England and others. And billions will be used to pay businesses to stay shut, even though those businesses are dead in the water. Many of them anyway are. The last 10 months has ended these businesses. Giving them money is akin to keeping a brain-dead person on life support, but that's just my opinion. Schools closed in the country today, primary schools. Some mothers did manage to get on radio this morning to say this was devastating for the well-being of their children. Of course it is. I despair. I don't know what to tell you. I really don't. Google, in the guise of YouTube, deleted the channel of national radio station Talk Radio overnight. Now, Talk Radio, which, as I said, is a national radio station here in the UK, have asked for an explanation. Talk Radio, like every other radio station in the country, is regulated by Ofcom. What did we do? Talk Radio has asked Google. Maybe they'll get an answer. I never got an answer. Maybe they will. The Chancellor of the Duchy of Lancaster, the mole-esque Michael Gove, was on Talk Radio this morning, that station, and Julia Hartley Brewer asked him this question.
Do you think people in a free democratic country should be allowed to debate government policy, should be allowed to question whether or not there should be lockdowns, whether that response is proportionate, and discuss the relative threats of different viruses? And do you think we should be allowed a free and full debate on that without censorship by, say, for instance, big tech?
Yes.
Are you confident that that's happening right now?
I hope so.
And do you think that any action should be taken by the government if it isn't happening, or if there is censorship?
Well, I don't believe in censorship, and we have a free and fair press, and we have commentators and interviewers of distinction who do criticise the government's position, from Lord Sumption, the former Supreme Court judge, to Peter Hitchens, the distinguished Mail on Sunday columnist, and others. And long may it remain so. And I respectfully disagree with them, but I think it's important that their voices are heard and that debate takes place.
Do you think it's dangerous or that people have blood on their hands if they ask questions?
No, I think it's absolutely right that people should ask questions.
Mm. Good to know. We should pass that information on.
Yeah. And Gove was obviously on that programme today to justify the national lockdown announced last night. Brewer wanted to talk about an acceptable number of deaths from COVID that would lead to an end to restrictions.
What is the acceptable level of deaths from coronavirus that means we get our freedoms back and our children get their education back?
We want to make sure that as many people as possible are as safe as possible. And the quicker we can vaccinate people, the more freedoms that we can...
Right. So, OK, now, OK, let's get to a number then. Let's get to a number. We're never going to have 100% safety. I mean, even with the flu jab, we don't have 100% safety from flu, do we? And coronavirus, we know, is more deadly than flu. We're never going to have zero COVID. So 100% of people being at risk, vast majority of people who are most at risk are in their over 70s. Once they've had the jab, OK, what number of people dying a day will mean that we can get our freedoms back?
Again, I won't make a judgment or prediction now. I think that the most important thing is to make sure that we can do everything possible to get those freedoms back by concentrating on vaccinating as many people as possible.
Yeah. Vaccinate as many people as possible, you might get your freedoms back.
As possible. And that's the aim the government has.
The point of the government, yes, the aim of the government is to vaccinate as many people as possible. The purpose of that is to save as many lives as possible. Once we have saved as many lives as we can possibly do, certainly from the over 70s who are most at risk, as I keep pointing out, at that point, we will have a lower number of people who are dying. What is the number of people who die from COVID that will mean it is acceptable for the rest of us to get our freedoms back?
We'll be looking at the pressures overall on the NHS because, again, one of the things that, as we've discussed in the past, is the case is that the more people who are in hospital with COVID, and mercifully the treatment now means that people who are in hospital have a higher likelihood of surviving, but the more people who are in hospital with COVID, the less available the NHS is for others, and the less available NHS resources are for other conditions. So what we need to do is to balance our ability to treat those who are in pain and who have serious conditions with the spread of the virus.
So now it's not about deaths. Now we've moved the goalposts. Now it's the number of people in hospital.
Now it's the number of people in hospital. And why would you determine that the more people in hospital with COVID, the less we can look after other people? Why? Many of those not being looked after and who haven't been looked after in the last 9-10 months, their conditions are terminal. So why? Why would you make flesh of one and blood of the other? It's a great question, isn't it? But the question they don't get asked very often. It's a race. We were told today it's a race between the virus and the vaccinators. Now, the vaccinators, this is no joke. If you watched UK television and radio or listened to radio news today, you would have heard the term vaccinator used a lot. It's a race between the virus and the vaccinators. Where are the virus and vaccinators racing? Well, they're racing towards you and me. The virus is racing towards us. The vaccinators want to get there quickly. And they're going to train everybody and anybody up to be a vaccinator. Lollipop ladies, bin men, I don't know, toilet attendants, anybody you can think of is going to be trained up to be a vaccinator. That's what they've been saying all day. The virus is out of control. The only thing that can save us now and restore some semblance of normality or return us to something like where we used to be pre-March last year is if everybody is vaccinated. It's a race. A race. Two words you heard today. Those must have been sent on talking point memos to every radio and television station in the land. And don't shake your head, it happens. I know, I've worked at every level of the media. On government press releases today, vaccinator race. Race was the buzzword. Vaccinators racing against time to beat COVID, get the jabs into the arms. Jab them in the keister, jab them in the pussy, jab them in the Adam's apple, jab them in the sphincter, anywhere you can find a vein, for the love of God, and get anybody that you can to administer those vaccines. Right? I miss Kay Burley, you know. I miss Kay. At least Kay lied with style, you know, with the joie de vivre, with the mischief. Where are you, Kay? Anyway, so the vaccinators race to jab the feckin' bejesus out of us before COVID gets to us, but there's a stumbling block. There's an enemy out there. There really is. There's an enemy running interference. That enemy, well, it's the anti-vaxxers. Yeah, the anti-vaxxers. Everywhere today again. What do we do about anti-vaxxers? Right across the media today, Labour leader Keir Starmer told Piers Morgan and Susanna Reid on ITV exactly what needs to be done with the anti-vaxxers.
We have to deal with the anti-vax campaigns because they will cost lives. And if we need to pass emergency legislation to deal with them, I'd be quite prepared to work with the government on that. We could pass it in a couple of days in Parliament. And the sooner we do that, frankly, the better, because for many NHS staff, it is really distressing. They're under huge pressure, and it's been building over the last few weeks and months. They're all doing their level best. They're all seeing that it's getting very, very difficult. And to come out and to have to confront that or even hear that is against the national interest. And if we need legislation, I'll sit down with Boris Johnson. We can draft it. We can pass it very, very quickly, because that misinformation will cost lives. We need as many people vaccinated as possible. We all need to give people confidence to be vaccinated. And that is pulling together as part of the programme. It is also dealing with this misinformation that is out there, which will cost lives.
Yeah, it'll cost lives. Watch this closely. This is going to be a central theme cropping up again and again and again with increasing frequency, increasing regularity. What we need to do about people whose opinion differs from ours. People who've got genuine concerns about taking a vaccine that was rushed into existence in only a few months. How do we get rid of these people? Over on Sky News, at the very same time Starmer was on Good Morning Britain, Dr. David Lloyd, always on Sky News Breakfast, a regular, a friend of Kay Burley's, actually. Kay's gone for the time being. Presenter Neil Paterson asked Dr. David Lloyd, "How's it going, David? Are your patients willing to be vaccinated by a vaccinator?"
Well, it's very interesting. I can only speak as a GP, of course, and of course GPs have got a bit of clout with their patients. We've known them for a long time. So when I talk to them and consent them on the telephone, I've had an overwhelming positive rate. It must be close to 99.5% of patients that I talk to that are very willing to have the vaccine, and I'm booking them in. But we're booking
99.5%.
We're booking in the very elderly and the very frail at the moment, and they really have been locked in all year. So they've got real incentives to get themselves protected. So we're looking at a group that...
They've been locked in all year, so they've got real incentives to get themselves protected. Translation, we've destroyed their lives. We've made them depressed and miserable and sick, constantly walking around in a state of melancholy. They're desperate to get out of it, so they'll take the vaccine. That's the translation.
Are going to consent. As we start moving down the age groups later on in the year and start vaccinating people that are perhaps feeling themselves less at risk, we may find that there is a little bit more resistance. But luckily, so far, people are really responding very well, and I hope they go on doing that, because the science is absolutely irrefutable. There are some marvellous data out there now saying how effective these vaccines are and how safe they are. So the anti-vaxxers, I hope we can put in a bin and put them somewhere.
We'll see if we might persuade the government to do just that. Dr. Lloyd, wishing you and all your colleagues all the best of luck over what I'm sure are going to be a few busy weeks. Thanks again for taking the time to join us in the programme.
First time in 2021, Amy.
What kind of fuckery is this?
Right. What did David Lloyd say, and what was that the presenter said?
The anti-vaxxers, I hope we can put in a bin and put them somewhere.
Lovely. Put the anti-vaxxers in a bin and put them somewhere, said David Lloyd. And the presenter? The journalist?
We'll see if we might persuade the government to do just that.
The anti-vaxxers.
We'll see if we can persuade the government to do just that. Who's we? Sky News will try and persuade the government to do just that. Journalism in 2021. The time is 18 minutes past five, by the way. You all right? You are? You in good form? Fine fettle? I don't know. Yeah. Will I? Have I time? Just a little bit. The Radio 5 Live this morning was speaking to a lot of people. You see, the media is working in total lockstep. The media is working in complete and utter lockstep in tandem with the government and the World Health Organization, which is basically answering now to, these days, to Bill Gates and Gavi and CEPI and all of the other Bill Gates organizations. This is what's happening. And the media exists now exclusively to push this agenda and to convince more people that they need to have the vaccine. It was astonishing today, right across Radio 4 in the UK, Radio 5 in the UK, bringing people on, bringing members of the public on randomly, not well-known people, but just random members of the public, to talk about how vulnerable they are. And because of their vulnerability, you and me, even though we've never met these people, we don't know them, we don't owe them anything, nor do they owe us anything, but we have to change the way we behave to protect them. Here's Jane, who's got asthma and a heart condition, speaking to Radio 5 Live.
Well, I've always kept an eye on the news because I think you have to be one step ahead. You know, if I did go out for a walk, I used to make sure I wore my face covering at all times because, you know, I've got a family member who's got COVID and they're very ill at the moment. And unfortunately, you might be taking precautions, but not everybody else is. And you're put at risk.
You might be taking precautions as the vulnerable person, but not everybody else is. Therefore, you, the vulnerable person, are at risk. You're going to hear a lot more of that. I know you heard quite a bit of it last year. They're going to ramp this up as well.
We talked a lot about on this programme, people not observing the guidelines, people being quite cynical about the government messaging. Do you see and hear those conversations? And if so, how do you feel about them?
I think personally we should wear face coverings when we go out, whether or not we're going in shops or not, because that person who bumps into you or that person who isn't observing it, and I've seen people who don't believe in it have shouted, oh, I don't believe in it and I won't wear a mask, then they could probably have it. We don't know. So you have to be on red alert, to be fair, and it's quite nerve-wracking. Mm. So you need to exercise and go out, but then you also need to be careful.
Yeah. Jane there speaking to BBC Radio 5 Live. 21 minutes past five. Don't forget Harry Vox from voxnews.com will be on the programme in the second hour. Before that, Piers Corbyn will join me. I'm looking forward to that, so I am.
Renowned healer Mark Bajerski travels the world to find the most unique and powerful crystals for self-healing. Since the ancient times, crystals have been used as healing tools. They hold a natural healing vibration and are highly charged in positive energy. Mark teaches how to channel the universal energy and transfer it to the crystal to activate its healing power. Each crystal is used for its unique ability to target a different physical or emotional challenge. Mark Bajerski is an author, healer, speaker, and founder of the Pure Energy Healing Academy. He shares powerful messages of inspiration and healing on his daily YouTube videos, reaching millions worldwide. Mark's crystals, healing oils, and incense sticks are most sought after by other healers. His collection is available online at www.markbajerski.com. His work is presented through Lemon House, a company that creates and curates consciously made gifts.
22 minutes past five. This is your Richie Allen radio show, broadcasting live from Salford in the northwest of the UK, just a stone's throw from Media City. Yes, you can walk to Media City from where I'm currently broadcasting in around about 15 to 20 minutes. Yeah, you might do it with your big long legs, Baldy. I hear you cry. Yeah, it's about 15, 20 minutes from here. It's a lie factory. It's an industrial estate of lies. You've got the BBC down there. You've got ITV down there. You've got some Channel 4 offices down there as well. Bit of Sky. There might be a little bit of Sky there. It's just lies, isn't it? Hi to Ronaldo on Twitter. How you doing? Not the Ronaldo, of course. He says, Richie, I'm 80, almost 80 years old. They will have to try and put me in the bin. they can stick the vaccines. Regards, Ron. Thanks, Ron. I suppose I would assume, making an ass out of you and me, I would assume that the vast majority of people listening to this programme would feel the same way. Otherwise, they wouldn't be listening to this programme. David says, Richie, if a gang of liars and criminals convince you there is a 6-foot rabbit called Harvey in your garden, should you expect everyone to bring a lettuce round? That's a good analogy, that. That's a good analogy. Right, we're going to have a tune. REM is lined up. Charlotte says, please tell Harry I miss our chats on Twitter. I'm not likely to do that, Charlotte, in a live interview about coronavirus, but thanks anyway. I'm sure he has an email address. Drop him an email. I'm sure he'll be glad to hear from you. Right. REM, this is an oldie. Harry Fox, R2, Piers Corbin, live, hopefully, in the next couple of minutes on your Richie Allen radio show. Welcome to it. REM, the one I love on the Richie Allen radio show. Predictably, Piers Corbin isn't there. I say predictably because he's never, ever there at the time we agree. I send him several text messages in advance of the live radio shows we do to remind him to be there because he's very eccentric, Piers. He's a lovely bloke and incredibly intelligent. And some incredibly intelligent people are very eccentric. And I say, right, be on Skype at 5:20. Right, you be, comes back the inevitable reply. And I know full fucking well that he won't be there at 5:20 or 5:25. These are the joys, you see, of doing live radio. This is the beauty of it when you're on your own, you know. And but anyway, we'll give him a few minutes. He could be under arrest, of course. I think Piers Corbin, if Roy Castle was alive, may God have mercy on his soul, he'd be rushing to Piers Corbin now with a big medallion from Record Breakers for breaking the world record for being arrested the most times in a single calendar year, Piers Corbin. And I don't take the piss when I say that. I admire him and his activism, putting himself in harm's way and getting arrested and getting fined. Although you can't squeeze blood out of a stone, so you can't. You can find somebody that's not got any money, and Piers has not got any money, God love him. The more than any of us have, you can fine him till the cows come home. And, well, I don't have any money. It's as simple. Here's another £10,000 fine for being outdoors in a group protesting this lockdown. Thanks very much. I'll put it with the rest. Because I can't pay. Lovely jubbly. Did you see Piers over the Christmas? I don't know what he was doing. I wanted to ask him. I don't know what he was doing. But he turned up at his brother's house in Islington. His brother Jeremy, the former leader of the Labour Party. He turned up with a couple of his own friends and a camera. I don't know what he was trying to achieve. I watched the video on Mail Online, I think. And I don't know whether it was an attempt to embarrass Jeremy or a genuine Christmas courtesy visit. I don't know. But I don't know if you saw it. If you look for it online, you'll find it, no doubt. The Prime Minister, Boris Johnson, has been, since 5 o'clock, delivering a briefing, stood alongside Tweedledee and Tweedledum, Chris Whitty, the Chief Medical Officer, and Patrick Vallance, the Chief Scientific Officer. Presumably, again, this is just a presumption because I'm not watching it, they're putting a lot of graphs on the screen and talking a lot of bollocks about how they're finding loads and loads and loads and loads and loads of cases of this deadly virus that's so fucking deadly that you need to give somebody a test to see if they have it. I know that's an old gag, but it's true. Deadly virus, deadly pandemic. We need to test you just in case you have it, you know. But I feel fine. And this is what's going to happen. I did say this yesterday. Let me just check my mobile phone while we're speaking. Nothing back from Piers Corbin, yeah. You see, Piers Corbin is like Doc Emmett Brown from Back to the Future. And I don't say that in a derogatory fashion. I don't say that to be mean. I say it as a compliment. Completely eccentric. And I know every time I arrange for him to be on the radio, it's a waste of my fucking time. I really do. Oh, God, I'm in good form anyways. Just as well I'm experienced, eh? Anyway, where was I? So we're in lockdown now till the middle of February, at least. It's probably going to be March, mid-March, late March, April. Easter Bunny, right? And because of that, they won't be testing so many people with the now completely destroyed PCR test. So because they won't be testing so many people, inevitably, the case numbers are going to fall. And as sure as night follows day, they're now going to say this is because of the lockdown. You see? Because of the lockdown. And it went from the sublime to the ridiculous today. RT.com, I don't know if you saw this, but a German politician, a German member of parliament, has proposed that we use lockdowns as a way of dealing with climate change long after we've dealt with coronavirus. Now, I've never been one of those arseholes who sits there and says, I told you so, didn't I? I've never been one of those, but I'm going to turn into one right now. I told you. I told you at the very outset of the first lockdown that increasingly, as time went on, they would say, look at how valuable, look at how wonderful the lockdown has been for the planet and for the ecosystem and all the rest of it. Look at all of that, they're going to say. Wonderful, they're going to say. And we should think about doing that in the future. And I suggested that one of the things they would do is that they would start to impose restrictions on when you can take your big old gas-guzzling diesel car out for a Sunday drive. German MP, look it up, RT.com. The guy's name absolutely escapes me. Escapes me, so it does. Help me out. Somebody tweet it and I will retweet that. And we never marked this yesterday because we just didn't have the time, but you know who turned 18, didn't she?
They sweep their mess under the carpet for our generation to clean up and solve.
How dare you! You have stolen my dreams, my childhood, with your empty words. People are suffering. People are dying. Entire ecosystems are collapsing. We are in the beginning of a mass extinction. How dare you?
How dare you indeed? Yeah, she turned 18. And said that she wouldn't mind too much when her celebrity inevitably fades and she's a forgotten woman, so long as the planet is going to be okay. Just had a message from Piers Corbyn, by the way. His bus is late and he's 10 or 15 minutes behind. Sure, there you go. These things happen, I suppose. No point in phoning him on his mobile when he's on a bus. What are we? We're 26 minutes to the top of the hour. Harry Vox from VoxNews.com will be with me in around about 25 minutes time. That should be very, very interesting. Looking forward to that. He came on the programme back in June of last year for the first time and we spoke at length about something he had done several years ago. He had talked several years ago on a video he made about Rockefeller Foundation documents about how to use a pandemic in the future to bring about certain societal changes. Wow. Very important stuff that, and it ties in neatly with the suggestion or the idea that this has been long in the planning. Long before Event 201 and Billy Poison Jab Gates and his pals back in the winter of last year. Long before that, this has been in the pipeline. Hi to Fabrizio, hi to Alan, otherwise known as Bass Ninja, listening in Liverpool. And thanks to Aurora Borealis there, who says it's Karl Lauterbach, Richie. Karl Lauterbach, that's the politician. Thank you very much, who suggested that lockdowns could be used in the future as a way to heal the world, make it a better place. That's what it could do. Stay indoors for a couple of months and don't be outside breathing out your CO2 and farting out your CO2 and milking your CO2 cows and all of that. Just stay indoors. And we'll keep testing the environment, like we test people for COVID. We'll keep testing the atmosphere. And we'll say, there's not so much CO2 in the atmosphere. Now we can come back out to play again for a while. It sounds ridiculous. It sounds hilarious. It sounds like absolute nonsense. But it isn't nonsense. It isn't nonsense, sadly. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? Robin tells me the Dr. Sucharit Bhakdi, who is he's based in Germany, is Sucharit Bhakdi, but I think he grew up in the United States. He's a renowned epidemiologist. He was on this program a few months ago, before he spoke to anybody else, really. He came on with me, admittedly, because he was promoting his book, admittedly. But apparently, according to Robbins, Sucharit Bhakti has been taken off of Messenger, not only Facebook, but also Messenger as well. This guy's a renowned epidemiologist. His opinion should matter as much as the opinions expressed on the BBC by members of SAGE. It should matter as much because he went to the same universities and he's got the same qualifications. But they're banning them. If Google, if YouTube can say we're deleting talk radio, a national radio station. Now, I'm not saying talk radio is perfect. I do use one or two clips from it from time to time because it matters, it fits in. And I admire occasionally some of the questioning, you know, some of the interviews with people like Julia Hartley Brewer, maybe Mike Graham, but I don't fall for it. Talk radio is a national commercial talk radio station. Many of its presenters, including Julia Hartley Brewer, are establishment people. They're married into the establishment, the Conservative Party, the House of Lords. So it's great to clap every now and then and to applaud and say, yes, well done for asking Michael Gove. But ultimately, they never go far enough. So I don't get too excited about talk radio. But they shouldn't be deleted from YouTube, nor should anybody else. It's an astonishing thing. A radio station that is regulated by the regulatory body in this country, which is Ofcom, can be deleted by YouTube because of YouTube's stated policy about anything that deviates from World Health Organization statements on coronavirus. You cannot now go on YouTube. Well, you can do if you're not very well known and you've got 200 subscribers or 50 subscribers. Yes, you can. You can go on there and wax lyrical about the Great Reset and the Fourth Industrial Revolution and Bill Gates and how this vaccine is Bill Gates' vaccine. That's not conjecture. It's a fact. That is a fact. This is the Bill Gates vaccine agenda. He's the front man for it. Not saying it's all his idea, but he's the guy selling it. If you've not got many subscribers and you're a bit of a ham and egger, they love that in America, ham and egger. If you're a ham and egger, they'll leave you alone. But if you're a big channel with lots of subscribers and your videos get thousands of views and you're talking about these things, they're going to delete you. They're going to delete you. Charlotte in Burnley says, girl I know has just posted a picture of her COVID certificate. Jesus wept, I hate Twitter, you know that. Let me go back there. Just as I was reading that, it jumped off the page. Charlotte said, Richie, girl I know has just posted a picture of her COVID certificate after having the vaccine and said, she said, roll on the pubs and live music. Sadly, others were echoing her sentiments. When you get the Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine in the UK, you're supposed to get two doses of it. And upon receiving the first dose, you are given a card, which is a card which will record that you've had your first dose, probably put the date you are supposed to receive your second dose on it, and you keep it in your wallet and you carry it around. And a lot of people have suggested that carrying it around in that fashion might enable you to get access to certain venues and certain places. You know, that this card they give you is a vaccine certificate card of sorts. So yeah, I don't know. But that's where we're going anyway. If you're not vaxxed, you're not getting in. If you're not vaxxed, you're not getting in. Yeah. Okay. Number of you mentioning various shows on YouTube to me. I'm not going to mention them. I'm not going to be doing that all day long. Partly because most of these programs I don't have any interest in personally. So there you are. Thanks for them anyway. Hi to Sam McCarthy. Hi to John. How you doing, John? John, that's our John. We say our John. That's John in Austin in Texas. Scottish John, who was on the last phone-in show of the year and regaled us with some brilliant stories and a brilliant song as well. Hi to Chris Morrell. How you doing, Chris? And to Mickey. Lots and lots of people tweeting the programme today. My Twitter handle is now @1. Richie Allen, that's the number one @1 Richie Allen. Not likely we'll have Piers Cormann on the programme today, but that's the way it goes sometimes. You just have to roll with the punches, improvise, adapt, and overcome. This is Queen. Yes, Queen, you're my best friend. I did see Queen and Adam Lambert at the Manchester Arena a couple of years ago. He's a very good singer, isn't he, Adam Lambert? Didn't Adam Lambert win some competition in America, or did he come joint first? Was he on The Voice America or something like that? And didn't the Queen lads see him singing a Queen song and decided to get in touch with him? But that was a very good show. That I was on my own that night. The oft mentioned, even future Mrs. was in Budapest. No, she wasn't, was she? No, she wasn't. She was visiting her family in the northeast of France. That's where she was. The night she was in Budapest, I was at the arena watching Paul Simon with the other oft mentioned, not future Mrs. Jean-Anne Crowley. Yeah. When the missus is away, I tend to play, is what I'm actually admitting to on the open airwave here tonight in Salford. Yeah, went by myself, see Adam Lambert and Queen, and I don't care about being by myself, I don't care. Sat down, I had a nice seat, and luckily enough for me, two Scouse ladies were sitting immediately to my right and included me, as Scouse folks are often prone to including people and meeting people and having fun with people. So we had great crack that night. Me and the two Scouse ladies had a drink after the show, and I went home I made my excuses and left like any good reporter. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it like flies on rice, I'm telling you. Thanks to the Red Devil in Manchester, who sent me a tweet. He retweeted Kate Ferguson. Now, I know this, but I know you don't know this because you're not a complete anal geek like me. But Kate Ferguson these days works for the Sun newspaper. Boo. Hiss. I know the Sun, the scum. I'm well aware of it. She's been watching the Boris Johnson briefing from Downing Street, flanked by Tweedledum and Tweedledee. And would you believe this? Boris Johnson has apparently announced that with schools closed, as they are, in national lockdown number 3. Yes, because we haven't locked down once or twice. No, it's thrice now. The BBC will come forward with a big programme of education for 3 hours a day. Youngsters at home. There's a BBC channel lying idle. I think it's BBC 4. Nothing going on there. And this astonishes me because Emma Kennedy, the author and television talking head, and she's an all-round arsehole, Emma Kennedy. You know what I'm talking about, right? Emma Kennedy was thrilled this morning the talk radio was deleted by YouTube. Positively thrilled she was. None of these authors or television presenters, because there was plenty of television presenters today also cheerleading the fact that talk radio was kicked off of YouTube. None of these people have any sense of irony whatsoever or any sniffing of any danger. They don't sniff the danger. It doesn't occur to them that they're going to be the next ones to be banned. Anyway, Emma Kennedy today, would you believe it, was conversing with somebody on Twitter, and either Kennedy herself or the person she was chatting with mooted the idea of the BBC using one of its dormant TV channels, like Channel 4, to put educational material on for the kiddies to watch when they're indoors. Yeah. And apparently, apparently, because I've not been watching it, I've been sitting here chatting with you, haven't I, dear listener? We've been chatting away, but in this briefing this afternoon, one of the things Johnson has said is that the BBC is coming forward with a programme, a schedule of programmes for children to watch. Imagine how woke that's going to be. Imagine. Answers on a postcard, please. Imagine it. What's the worst that could happen? What's the best that could happen if the BBC is given the responsibility of scheduling programmes for kiddies to watch at home while their parents, God love them, are presumably glued to their own laptops as they've been told to work from home as well. The ones who haven't lost their jobs, that is. Robert Peston, fake journalist, pretends to be a journalist for a living, apparently asked Boris Johnson in this briefing this afternoon when might it be possible to exit lockdown measures? Johnson said, the Prime Minister, with certain provisions, it might happen in the middle of February. Johnson said, provided we don't learn anything new about the virus that we don't currently understand. Provided we don't learn anything new about the virus that we don't currently understand, such as some new mutation that we haven't currently bargained for, provided vaccine rollout goes to plan, and that it is as efficacious as we think it is, and as long as everyone follows the guidance, we think by the middle of February, when a considerable portion of the most vulnerable groups would have been vaccinated, then there is really the prospect of beginning the relaxation of some of these measures, said Johnson there. Don't believe a word of it, as there will not be any relaxation of these restrictions by the middle of February. Not in my opinion, anyway. Is it still going on? It probably is. There's no point in us joining it so late in the day. Approaching 10 minutes to the top of the hour, that's 6 o'clock. It is Tuesday. It is January 5th in the year of our Lord, 2021. I'm the BBG Richie Allen, broadcasting live from Salford. No Piers Corbyn. Sadly, he didn't make it back to his office in time to speak to me today. We'll have to reschedule that. Yeah, these are the pitfalls of live broadcasting. We'll be speaking, hopefully, with Harry Vox in hour two. Harry Vox in the second hour. Hopefully, all going well. All right? Don't ask me about this. Don't ask.
Love is in the air.
I want to say hi to my friend Phil Restino, who's listening to this programme in Florida right now. How you doing, Phil? Phil was very amused. You know the beauty of this radio programme particularly, and I've worked on one or two of my own, and I've produced other people. You know the beauty of this one is how it, for me anyway, it narrows the world or makes the world a very, very, very small place. Phil was laughing uproariously at my mate Deborah Reid in Tremore in County Waterford for invoking the colloquialism, the adage, as it were, I'd like to kick the hole off of him. It's uniquely Irish, that. And I would even venture a guess that it's uniquely Waterford. It's uniquely Daisha. Kick the hole off him, or kick the arse off him. Now, Phil was interested in that because Deborah told us earlier on she was escorted out of a supermarket in Tremore today for not having a mask on. And Phil told me yesterday, sorry I didn't reply to that email, Phil. It's just that I'm too big and famous to be replying to the likes of you, Philip, you know? Not at all, I just forgot to reply to you, Phil. But Phil sent me a series of emails yesterday about his own encounter. Nasty encounter, nastier than the encounter Deborah had with mask Nazis. And Phil had to work pretty hard to restrain himself. You're going to see more and more of this as time goes on. We are. As people, and don't forget, and I've had a number of emails from people on this, don't forget, the vast, vast majority of people who comply with this nonsense, they do so not because they are evil or because they are wicked. They are neither. They do so because they are completely brainwashed to it. It's not their fault. And their lives are just as miserable as your life has become and my life has become. And they get increasingly angry when they hear things like doctors going on the BBC saying that people who don't have masks on their faces also then have blood on their hands. And this gets to people. It makes them angry. And they want an end to the tyranny. And who did they blame? Did they blame that fat, useless barrel of monkey spunk in number 10 Downing Street? No, they don't. They blame Phil in Florida. They blame Deborah. They blame the BBG. It's their fault that things won't go back to normal because we just won't do what we're told. This is going to be a problem. I never mentioned this yesterday because I clean forgot to mention it. But I did post about it on Facebook at the weekend. I had a delightful email from a gentleman in Croydon in London asking me would I pay for the cleaning of some graffiti on a wall in a street somewhere in Croydon in London. because some scallywag, you see, daubed the wall or walls of a neighbourhood with my website address, richieallen.co.uk. And this gentleman, whose name obviously I won't mention here because it wouldn't be fair to him, and I'm sure he's a decent enough chap, he said, as Croydon Council are no longer cleaning graffiti from walls, it's incumbent on you, Mr. Allen, as the sponsor of said graffiti, to organise the cleaning of it. So, I replied very nicely. I didn't have to restrain myself at all. Most people are nice, you see. Well-intentioned, but just a bit thick. Just a bit thick, and you can't blame people for that. I didn't commission the graffiti. I certainly didn't travel 400 and whatever it is miles. It's not 400 miles. I didn't travel 4 hours down the M6 or whatever it is, the M1, to put my website address on a wall, on a specific wall in Croydon. So therefore, I can't be held responsible for the cleaning of it. And I'm very sorry. But I had another email today, not from the gentleman I replied to, but from somebody else in Croydon, complaining about the same graffiti on the same wall. You big ignorant bastard, get down here and clean our wall of richieallen.co.uk. I said, I won't. But what I will say, and I mean it, by the way, there's no irony here, and my tongue is not in my cheek. Don't be defacing walls outside people's houses with any graffiti. Don't fucking do it. What did the baby Jesus tell you? What did the baby Jesus tell you? Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. You might not like it if walls outside your property were daubed with graffiti, regardless of what that graffiti says or doesn't say. Don't do it. It's not right. And I mean that. Leave people alone. Leave people well enough alone. 2 minutes it is to the top of the hour. Harry Vox will join the Richie Allen radio show right soon. And that should be good. I'm looking forward to it. He was on the programme one time and one time only. And that was back in June of last year. I enjoyed listening to him immensely. And he sent me a Skype this morning. Would you believe it? Happenstance. Sent me a Skype message. I was on the loo. I was actually on the loo, sitting there, pondering. And phones have replaced newspapers in the loo. Let's be honest about it. I know. It's not the nicest thing to be thinking about or to be talking about. But phones have replaced newspapers. I'm on the phone and lo and behold, I see a Skype from Harry Vox. Harry says, Richie, here's a video that I've put on BitChute. Had a look at it. I said, Jesus, Harry, it's about time you came back on the programme. And the rest is history. A little production one-on-one there. All right, okay. What we are going to do right now is we're going to take headlines from FSN headlines, then we'll come back. There might be time for another tune. I know I'm tuning the bejesus out of you today. I'm well aware of it. And if not, we'll go straight to Harry Vox. Headlines from FSN.
From Feature Story News in Washington, I'm Simon Marks. It's election day in the US state of Georgia, with control of the US Senate at stake. The British government has announced a new £4.5 billion support package for struggling businesses as a third national lockdown kicks in. And businesses in Washington are being boarded up as President Trump's supporters arrive ahead of Wednesday's expected congressional affirmation of Joe Biden's election win.
Thank you, Simon. I was caught on the hop there, having a little sip of agua sin gas. It is 6 o'clock. It is the 5th of January 2021. This is the Richie Allen Radio Show, broadcasting live from Salford, Monday to Thursday at 5 o'clock, Fridays at 3. Always good to have your company. Thanks for choosing this programme. I ain't going anywhere.
Thanks to you, the Richie Allen Show is the most listened to independent radio show in Europe. Show your support for this unique broadcaster by making a regular financial contribution. Just the price of a cup of coffee each month will make a massive difference. Visit richieallen.co.uk for details.
Lovely. And the program is contactable. You can contact me through Twitter during the program. It's at one. That's the number one. At one Richie Allen, RICHIEALLEN, all one word. Please get in touch during the programme. I like reading your comments as I go along. How fascinating. that during the briefing this afternoon, it appears that Boris Johnson, the Prime Minister, has suggested that the BBC will come forward with programming for the kiddies who've been confined to their homes overnight. How interesting indeed. Harry Vox is standing by. He's waved as Harry. I love that. I love when they wave. I love when they wave. He's looking forward to his Harry, voxnews.com. We'll speak with him after this from the Eurythmics. That's how we used to say it. Eurythmics. Eurythmics. Annie Lennox, Dave Stewart, Eurythmics. Harry Vox next, The Richie Allen Show. Sweet dreams are made of this. Annie Lennox and Dave Stewart, as I said, Eurythmics and Sweet Dreams are made of this. 4 minutes past 6 o'clock. It is Tuesday's programme. My guest this hour should have been back on this programme right sooner than he has. I really enjoyed speaking with him back in June of last year. He's very, very well known through voxnews.com. He's an investigative journalist and broadcaster. And 6 years ago, we did a television interview in which he dissected, I talked about this earlier on, the Rockefeller Foundation documents talking about how a pandemic could be used to restrict people's freedoms. Astonishing stuff, really. Delighted to welcome him back to the programme. He sent me a link this morning to a mock-up he did of an interview between him and the World Economic Forum's Klaus Schwab, which is very, 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 very good. And I will put a link out to where you can find it on BitChute. Let's welcome back to the programme the one and only Harry Vox. Harry, it's a pleasure to have you back on. How are you?
Really good to be here. Thanks for having me.
Great to have you on. Charlotte Binns in Burnley in the northwest of the UK, big fan of yours, wanted me to say hello. So I've done that. Welcome back. Great video too, by the way. We spoke back in June. How's it been for you since then? I know that you were deleted off of Twitter. I know you were kicked off of Google, YouTube as well. We can talk about that if you want briefly. It's happening to a lot of people. I don't know if you know, but a national talk radio station in this country today, talk radio, was deleted or was booted off by YouTube. Now, that's an astonishing thing. I would expect investigative journalists like yourself on the cutting edge of real news to be targeted by YouTube, of course, Harry. But to see national radio stations in the UK being booted off, it's astonishing. What's happened since the last time we spoke? Where are we now?
Well, the thing that's on my mind most of all right now is to try to prevent mandatory vaccination. And the reason why is because what I have identified, and not just me, I think everybody, as the linchpin. It's the thing that all other of their plans hinge on. So if they are successful at getting that, then every single domino falls. However, if we're able to block that and keep maybe 50% of the population, or well, just make it so it's not mandatory, right? The other plans, namely the IDs and the all that biometric and all the ID controls and everything, because that's ultimately what it's all about. The mandatory vaccine is just the vector from which to install the total police state, right? Under the guise of a medical surveillance system, when in fact it's just a surveillance system, you know. So I've been working here to get the message out and to try to do everything I can to let people know that that's what this is. So this mandatory vaccine is the thing you have to stop. Then everything else kind of collapses a little bit. Yeah.
There was an exchange today, I'm not sure I can play it for you right now, between a doctor in general practice here in the UK and a Sky News presenter. The doctor said, we need to put the anti-vaxxers in a bin and put them somewhere. And astonishingly, and you must be astonished by this as a journalist yourself, the Sky News presenter said, and I quote, well, maybe we can petition the government to do that very thing, to get rid of anti-vaxxers. The leader of the Labour Party, which is in opposition here in the UK at the moment, as you know, Keir Starmer, has been calling all day for new primary legislation to deal with the threat of so-called anti-vaxxers, which tells me, Harry, they're very concerned that they're not going to get the numbers taking this vaccine that they ultimately want.
Right. Well, the reason why they need to get, and, you know, first of all, it's probably just a handful of people that have the full knowledge of what this is all about. The Keir Starmers and the Andrew Cuomos of the world, even the Donald Trumps, are not told what the real deal story is here. Okay, the reason why they need to get everybody mandatory vaxxed is to get the poison in everybody's veins, right? Is because they don't want a massive control group of people who did not get vaccinated, and that 2-3 months or years down the line, when everybody who got that vaccine gets that ADE, that back door, because that's what this vaccine is. This vaccine, think of it this way. The vaccine is a back door into your immune system by the deep state and the Israeli intelligence that's running this terror rig, right? And in case viewers don't know about the ADE, the pathogenic priming, or that a lot of people are talking about, it's top on my runway. As a matter of fact, my last 4 shows have been about the ADE, the antibody dependent enhancement. I'll go through it really quick. The way a vaccine's supposed to work is the needle goes into your arm. That has a sort of a weakened version, the outer shapes of the virus, not the inner stuff, because that's the stuff that's bad. That's in the middle of that circle, right? That globe. Okay, so it's the dead stuff that's on the outer shell of it. Your immune system builds up these antibodies that attach to the surface of that virus, and they block it from entering your immune cells, the macrophages and the monocytes. It's not important, all the technical names. I'm going to try to use lay terms here. Okay, the way it's going to work, and the way they found and discovered that it has worked, that it's gone, and I'm saying that this vaccine and this virus was specifically engineered to exploit this mechanism. So here's what's going to happen. The needle goes into your arm. Your body makes the antibodies to this poison that they're putting in there, right? But these antibodies are not neutralizing antibodies. They're non-neutralizing. I mean, they do not attach to this. Well, they attach to the surface antigens. They attach to these virus particles, right? But instead of blocking entry into the cell, they take it right by the hand and walk it right into every single cell. Your body freaks out, goes into the cytokine storm and the inflammation of the lungs and inflammation of the organs, and then you get massive organ failure very quickly.
Who told you this? Because like me, you're a journalist. I want to come back to Israel in a minute, by the way. But before we come back to that, like myself, you're a journalist and a reporter. Who gave you this information about this backdoor vaccine and the antibodies and how they would have this effect on the human body? Where did you get that from?
The very first time I learned of it, I think it was from a presentation by Robert Kennedy. And then, of course, I searched it. Have you heard of that yet, by
the
way?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. This is what we know as messenger RNA, right?
Look, this mechanism is well known. Robert Kennedy spoke about it with Del Bigtree, and now there's only about 1,000 scientists and medical personnel that are saying, be careful for this ADE. So let me finish the rant about this. Okay, so basically, this is a well-known mechanism. It happened in a study in the 1960s where they gave these ferrets a bunch of this a vaccine, and they were testing it, and then the ferrets built up the antibodies. They said, oh, good, the antibodies are present. It's working. But then when they got challenged with the real virus, the ferrets all just died. And then they did it again with children, where they bypassed animal tests, and some children died. And so they know of this mechanism. It is well known in the medical community. And now there's many doctors, many scientists, many people, not the ones getting paid by Bill Gates, by the way, that are saying, look, this thing could, because once this goes into your body, what it means is that instead of your body naturally fighting off a rather mild flu, which is what this COVID is, unless you're like 85 years old or something like that. Other than that, most people who get this are not even aware that they had it. Okay, this is to their own, this is their own statements about it. Okay, so with the antibody-dependent enhancement, it's something like 10 to 100 times sicker that you get. And this is where you're getting all these inflamed lungs and all this the lung failure. Okay, so, and this is also occurring with people who are getting the flu shots. And we're seeing report after report that people who got the flu shots, apparently this is exploiting this mechanism. So the flu shot actually makes you more vulnerable. And we know this. The Pentagon's own study said people that got the flu shot are 36% more likely to have gotten a COVID. And now we see a study, an international study of European nations. It was presented in PolitiFact recently, not PolitiFact, Gateway Pundit, among other journals, but that was the one that I had seen it on. But it's a culmination of all these reports that of vaccination in the elderly, and that countries that had a higher rate of vaccination on the elderly, those elderly got COVID and died at a much greater rate than countries that said, look, we're not going to vaccinate our elderly against the flu shots. That's what I'm talking about, flu shots now. Okay, but it works with both the flu and the COVID. So what I'm saying, Richie, is that it appears that this virus itself was engineered specifically to be vulnerable to this ADE mechanism, this pathogenic priming, this backdoor mechanism. It's specifically engineered, and not only the virus was engineered to exploit this, but the vaccines also, and the flu shots that they're horny to get into everybody's veins. Oh yes, it's free. Go to your local bar, go to the local McDonald's and Walmart. We'll get, what the fuck is this shit, man? Since when the corner Walmart giving you this poison, right? So there's a reason.
They've announced in the UK today that they plan on having several thousand points of vaccination in the country within the next few weeks. There is an email I received from a lady who works in epidemiology. I won't mention her by name. Let's just say her name is Claire, who sent me a very long email and backed up her credentials so that I knew she was genuine. She listens to programs like this and has a lot of sympathy with many of the opinions she hears on this as well. She heard an interview recently with Andrew Kaufman, who was on this program in the past, and it annoyed her because she said that there, an opinion has been put out there that this new vaccine is going to alter our DNA. And she says that she doesn't think that it will. And I'm going to read you very briefly what she sent to me. She'd done some reading up on these mRNA vaccines and says the Pfizer and Moderna vaccines claim to use mRNA, messenger RNA, which codes for a viral spike protein of SARS-CoV-2 and lipids salts, which will allow the delivery of the mRNA into our cells. She assumes primarily muscle cells. That's where the injection will be given, into muscle cells. The lipids are there to allow the entry of the mRNA through the membrane of the cell, and the salts are just to maintain the osmotic equilibrium. Now, once the mRNA has entered the cell, it will be made into the COVID spike protein via our own cell's machinery, which all happens in the cell's cytoplasm, which is outside the nucleus where our genome is stored. Now, the only way I can see our genomes or DNA being altered was if pharma were not stating the real ingredients of the vaccine. Taking pharma at face value, in terms of if the ingredients they have told us about are the genuine ones, this will not in any way affect our DNA. And that came from an epidemiologist who contacted the program. There's so much confusion around this. Harry. I mean, I wouldn't touch it with a barge pole. I don't believe I need it. I'm very suspicious about the vaccine being rolled out in such a short period of time. It takes so many years to develop vaccines ordinarily. And I admire what you do and I have a lot of interest in your work. But I'm not sure there's enough evidence there yet for me to go public constantly and to say to people, listen, don't take this vaccine because it's a, basically, as you described it, a backdoor into our immune systems where these terrible things can happen. I'm not saying you're wrong for a minute. I'm just doing my job. Go ahead.
Okay, so here we go. There's study after study showing that the people who got the flu shots are having a higher rate of COVID and a COVID mortality.
That
fatalities.
Is true, yeah.
Okay. Okay, so I mean, it's like the bottom line is that, and some of these are, is 30, in some cases, some say 36% higher, some say 70% higher. So this is just the science that's out there and it's in like mainstream sources. So it's not like this is even in among some loony, wacky, crazy stuff. This is actually documented stuff. And this is the Pentagon's own study, the 36% higher casualty rate. Now, sure, at this point, when you go to Google and you start Googling this stuff, pretty much if you Google, if they didn't want you to think the sky is blue, they'd have a fact check. No, it's not blue. So forget about going to Google and expecting that some, you know, fact checker is going to give it to you straight. So that's not how you do it. You have to find, and now more and more, they know that people are searching for these terms. So Google is specifically going in there and making it very difficult. So, for example, when the swab testing first came out, it was discovered that the swabs actually had COVID on them. The actual cotton swabs that they stick on your up your nose were tainted. Okay, try to find that story. That was a massive story in both Great Britain and in the United States. We had cases. I'll say this, Richie, of all the substances that could be on a cotton swab, be it bird poop or peanut butter jelly or some wine or something, the fact that it had COVID on it means it was put there.
Somebody put it there deliberately.
Of course. And I don't care what kind of elegant bullshit that a fact checker comes out and says it, because we know that the fact checker is like the guy that's outside the white van driving down the street, handing candy to the little girls at the playground. The fact checker's his friend, and he's outside the van walking along the side of the van going, oh, trust the guy in the van. He's good, man. The candy's awesome, kids. Go on in the van. That's how everybody has to think of a fact checker.
It's a fair point. Let me just read another little bit from my epidemiologist friend, Claire. And this is the last bit I'll read, just again, to be fair. She says, if the ingredients of both the Pfizer and Moderna vaccines are correct, it isn't DNA, it's mRNA and cannot enter the nucleus where our genome is stored. I read that already. But she goes on to say, the mRNA is used by our cells to make the spike protein in the hope our immune response reacts to combat what it sees as an infection. So when we come across the real virus, our immunity is well equipped to fight it off with the antibodies the vaccine has encouraged our body to create. That's the theory. But then Claire goes on to say this, and I like people that are balanced. She says, bearing in mind the mRNA sequence is very similar to a placental protein, there has been no time for studies to show any effects. And that's a red light there. And that's an honest scientist who contacted this program. Fascinating stuff. Harry Vox is our guest. VoxNews.com. It's only 22 minutes past the hour. Harry's going to stay till the top of the hour. So you're going to hear plenty from him. When I announced you were coming on today, now you won't be surprised by this. Genuine email from Yohannaton. I hope to God I pronounced that properly. Yohannaton, Yehonatan. He's in Tel Aviv. Listens to this program. I like Harry Vox, Richie, he says. In a long email he said to me, but I'm fed up and sick to the back teeth of everybody blaming Israel and the Jews for everything. He said, I know Harry's going to bring up Israeli intelligence. The Jews are being vaccinated in Israel at a rate of knots. This agenda, if there is an agenda, is meant to affect every living thing, not just every man, woman and child, but every living thing on the planet. And the idea that the Jews are somewhere behind it is wrong, and I'm surprised that you would let Harry Vox on the programme. Genuine email from Yohannathan. Go on.
I've never made an anti-Semitic statement in my life, and I could defend this, and I've offered to debate people to point out how the statements that I've made are necessarily anti-Semitic. When I rail on against Jewish control of the media, the political class, and the monetary system, at least in the United States, I'm very specific about that, and that's true. There's no question about it. And so, if somebody makes the counter argument, I don't find that to be true. You know, Jews do not control the media, or they don't control it, or they don't benefit from it. I certainly hope they do, because then we have a situation which would be a lot more ignominious, because the preponderance of the numbers of Jews that are involved in every facet of this crime. I'm not saying I never said all Jews. I just said that this particular crime against humanity has as at least its mechanics, at least the operators. I challenge anyone to find me a Jew in the mainstream media who is not urging you to take the vaccine, who is telling you anything other than the complete orthodox of this crime against humanity.
But that's unfair, Harry. Hang on, that's unfair. You can't find an Irishman, an Irish woman in positions of authority in Ireland. You can't find a German woman let me finish, and then I will shut up. And the people who have manufactured these vaccines, we know their names, Oxford University, Pfizer. We've seen these people's pictures in the press. The politicians that are taking directions from people like Chris Whitty and Patrick Vallance, these are not Israelis and they're not Jews, Harry. They're not.
Yeah, I have a feeling that the highest money powers would be more powerful than people who don't have trillions of dollars. So, for example, I don't think that Gates and his $120 or $130 billion is any comparison to the real money power, which would be in the city of London and which would have trillions of dollars in gold and other currencies. Okay. And part of the reason why I know that they've put shots across the bow of Gates is we see in the October New York Times the story with Gates being in Epstein's apartment, and the Epstein operation was an Israeli intelligence operation. The bottom line is I've done interviews with the people who are involved in it, people like Maria Farmer, and this was a very close proximity to the lady Lynn Forrester Rothschild and her husband Evelyn de Rothschilds were at that place. And you had Ehud Barak going in there, and she opened the door once in this hidden door, and there's a room full of guys, and there's cameras everywhere. This is coming from Les Wexner. This is Israeli mafia. This is Israeli intelligence operation that was. And the fact that the New York Times, which is a Jewish publication, actually had an article with Bill Gates in it with a photograph of him in Epstein's apartment is a warning from Bill Gates from the real money power, saying you do exactly what you're told or you're going to end up like Epstein. And because let me tell you, there's not a newspaper on the planet Earth that's of a major mainstream nature that's going to put a story with Bill Gates and Jeffrey Epstein, unless it was there to warn him, because that's not how money and power works. But
do you really believe, Harry, that the Rothschild dynasty, that those people are Jewish? I've never believed they're Jewish. I mean,
they're not Jewish.
Of course they're not.
But they are self-declared as Jews. Yeah. It doesn't matter if they're religious. Who cares? It's that it's the whole it's like a club. It doesn't matter if I don't think Al Capone was a devout Catholic either, but he said he was a Catholic, and I don't think that Rothschild, it doesn't matter.
Here's the question for you before we move on and talk about this more in general. VoxNews.com, Harry Vox is our guest. Here's a question. I've been asking myself this question for years. I've had to look at myself in the mirror and ask myself the question. I've spent years talking about why I don't believe the state of Israel has any right to exist historically. And I've studied history, I'm well read, graduated in history. I don't have any time for the country, Israel. I've asked myself many times over the years, has that coloured my judgment? Has it, I don't know, has it made me less of a journalist because I have this thing about Israel and all of that? I'll get to the point very quickly. When Israel does what Israel does, and we saw it in the UK, we saw it only a few years ago, we saw the Al Jazeera a documentary that showed how Israeli agents were here in the country trying to destabilise political parties. We know all this. We know the Labour Friends of Israel, Conservative Friends of Israel. We know that Israel has an incredible influence, more than any other country in the world, on Western democracies. My question is, why are we so hung up on blaming the state of Israel for that? Why don't we reserve our wrath for the governments in Dublin, in London, in Paris, and in Berlin?
Because the governments in London and in Paris and in New York don't have their entire political class paid off and bribed and or intimidated into doing what they're told by the Israeli. Look, we.
But who's worse is my question. Who's worse? If the state of Israel, this is my question. See, I believe that Israel uses its agents to wield influence on domestic and foreign policy in many Western democracies. But who do we blame for that? Yep. Do we constantly demonize Israel for it, or do we blame the corrupt bastards who allow it? Yep. I'm not inclined to blame Israel anymore for that. Yep. I don't blame them for it.
You're right. Definitely. Listen, I have more disdain for the goy who strap the knee pads on and do their bidding. Yeah, of course. Of course. There's nothing worse. And this is, in a way, this is why there was a certain appreciation for Donald Trump, because the rest of our corporate class was just a bunch of corporate lickspittles. Donald Trump was the corporation.
Openly.
So it's the same thing with Israel. Everyone is a bunch of Israeli lickspittles, and Israel is the boss. So, yeah, of course, I'd have much more respect for Israel than I do for those who work for
it. I'm glad you said that, because it comes up so often on the program. And I do have listeners in Manchester particularly who are Jewish men and women. They say to me all the time, honestly, Ari, they say, Rich, I'm fed up of Israel or the Jews getting blamed. I'm a Jew in North Manchester. I can barely make ends meet. Most of the people I live around were mortgaged up to the neck. We've got kids in school. We don't have holiday homes. We're just Jews, and I'm fed up with people blaming Jews for everything.
Then don't blame the people who are complaining about them. Go and address. This is what I tell Jews who are sick and tired of hearing about the complaints against these Jews that are at the top of the pyramid that are screwing everyone else. Don't blame us for articulating that. Go and deal with these Jews that are the ones who are doing it. Because when I first got into journalism, I was going after the Christians full force, the Knights of Malta in the George Bush's regime, these honorary Knights of Malta who are getting us involved in all these wars in the Middle East. I wasn't going after Jews, and I was born a Christian. So look, what I'm saying is, Jews complain about people complaining about Jews. No, join us and try to say, hey, why are you particular class of Jews in the banking and in media? Why are you sabotaging it? Because you're drawing the heat and you're making us look bad. So that, you know, that, but Jews don't do that.
Let me make two very quick points on that, Harry, and then you'll get the final word on this, and then we'll move on to the bigger picture. Let me make two points on that. One, I would say, the top of the pyramid is not inhabited by Jews exclusively. I know better than that. It isn't, number one. And number two, you might be very critical of somebody who says that Muslims should come out and stand up and speak up against, against jihadism or terrorism.
And you might say, Israel, all of which is controlled and run.
Not all of, but you might say, look, Richie, it's unfair to tell a Muslim guy that he's got to speak out against something he's got nothing to do with. I would, and I've said this to Gilad Atzmon, I've butted heads for so many years with our mutual friend Gilad Atzmon about this very subject. I've said, how dare you say that a Jewish man or woman living on Cheetham Hill has to be vocal and speak out against so-called Jewish influence or speak out against Jewish tyranny? You know, that's unfair. Why should they? They're not complicit
because,
in it.
Because we're asked as people, it's the same thing that just happened in this country with the George Floyd. All white people were demanded to atone for the sins of those who transgressed among us. And this is not a new process. It's a process that has been going on throughout history.
Yeah.
We atone for the sins of our simulated. As men, we have to pay the price for those excessive patriarchal scumbags who've made being a man very difficult to do now in some some people's minds, right? So yeah, it's only natural. You have to look. The bottom line is then who's gonna do it, right? I mean, because the bottom line is under every rock in this country, in this and I don't want to. I have better things to do than have to say these things. You're like, I don't actually want this job. You know what I mean? Like, I'm only doing it because every time the head of Moderna is Jewish, the guy who's the head of the medical and Jewish, same with Pfizer is Jewish. The people who sold their stocks in a stock transfer, Jewish, all of them. If it was Buddhists that were doing this, I'd be railing off against Buddhists, I promise you, because you have to have a name. Like, you have to, if you're going to build a populist movement, if you're going to have a boycott movement to try to force people to do something create awareness in society that we have a problem. We have a problem in the United States. The Jews control the political process. That's a fact. Do all Jews control the political process? Certainly not. Do powerful people who identify themselves as Jews control the political process in the United States? You bet. They control war making. They control Congress. They control Senate. They control the governorship. They control the media. They control Hollywood. So look, the bottom line is that, call it what you will, if you say, well, it's unfair, well, then if these patterns weren't so consistent...
What I'm saying is, look, I'd be an idiot to argue against the point that Jewish folks are overrepresented in media circles, in political circles, in lobbying circles. I'd be idiotic to do that because they are. That's a fact. But I think there's a much, much bigger picture there. I don't think these people are Jews, ultimately. I don't think they serve the Jewish people.
But that's the label they're operating
on. I'm well aware of it. And look, we could butt heads all night on this. There's far more important things to talk about. VoxNews.com, Harry Vox. Really good stuff with the mocked-up Klaus Schwab interview, by the way. I will put a link to it on Twitter by the end of the programme. I'm ultimately pessimistic, Harry, because I'll tell you why I am. I think I'm not saying you should believe every time a newspaper publishes an opinion poll, but I see it on the streets and I see it in the local parks and I see it when I'm out and about. People are buying this idea. They're buying the idea that a deadly virus is rampant, that we need to lock down. We've entered a national lockdown again for the third time overnight, and that we need to be vaccinated. And I don't know how to convince them, first of all, that the virus isn't anywhere near deadly, that you really don't need the vaccine. But to convince them of what you've been talking about on your programmes and on your reports for months and for years now, that ultimately this is all part of an unimaginably dystopian agenda to totally transform the way we live and how we experience life. I don't know how you even begin to start getting through to people because they are swallowing this.
Right. Yes, indeed. If COVID has done anything, it's torn the illusions away and exposed really the ugly nature of our society. I hate to say it. You know, it's laid bare the lack of, integrity and the intellectual bankruptcy of everything. So the denial is over. The COVID has revealed the truth. So look, sometimes I would say the truth is a blessing. Unfortunately, this is a little bit of a nightmare we're living through, but it's shattered the illusion that we have a healthy liberal society. Fuck, it's the liberals who are the jackbooted mask-wearing hordes, soon to be holding us down and plunging needles into our arms. Okay, so the denial that we had a good society is over. We are not a good society. Hate to say it, but we are not a good people. And we can go through these exercises where we attempt to like trace back the causes of this, let's say, bankruptcy to locate some of the fundamental forces that are underpinning this. Maybe, greed, violence, you know, but then you'd have to say, well, what's the countervailing force? And it's maybe some kind of, yearning, some innate goodness, right? Or yearning to be free, something like this, right? But even there, the powerful would come back and say, well, what's wrong with depraved power? I mean, that it exists at every single level of the natural world, the animal kingdom, you know, whatever, with few exceptions, is this violent power hierarchy. And then, if a shark is eating a barracuda, does that constitute a violent act? So it's a philosophical question. Violence is subjective. Depravity is, is it violence or is it lunch? Okay. And then the powerless will go, say, oh, well, great. This model of yours where murder is no different from lunch, that means we're no better than animals, blah, blah, blah. And it looks like we might not be much better than animals, sheep and wolves to be specific. And maybe whatever, reptiles, don't want to forget about them. So the illusions have been torn away. And, I always ask, and of course there's the religious question, which I didn't even get into, but you have to, you get to the point where it's useless to try to find the origins of this, whatever cataclysm or this, diversion of the human, humankind. Right. And then you just have to forget about weighing out both sides of the argument, and you just look at the result, the thing that you have right in front of you. That's what you do. And this is a philosophical system that I'm working on, which derives from some of the utilitarianism or some of the verificationists philosophical viewpoints, but only this is a little bit of a reversal where instead of this being a way to live your life, it's a way to examine the tableau in front of you and then decide you make your judgments, okay, about what's going on. And so the result is this is a fucking mess. And that we don't have a good society, and we do. As much as it's maybe impractical to say, the argument could be made is like, no, you can't just like bug out of society and form your own like communes and stuff, because they're going to come and kick your doors down and get you. And that there's truth in that. There's almost nowhere to run, nowhere to hide.
That's hugely interesting. That's very interesting, that particular point, because I hear from a lot of people who are, let's just use that horrible term, who are awake and alive to what's happening. And they are consoling themselves by telling themselves that they're just going to disengage. So if they block me from going to the football stadium, if they block me from going to the movies or the drive-in or the fast food joint or whatever, well, I don't care. I'll just hang around my house, I'll grow some vegetables, and I just won't engage. But that's not going to be too easy, you don't think?
No. That's not going to happen. And look, I don't want to. I know where it's going to boil down to is that they're going to go with ground penetrating radars, house to house, to make sure no one's hiding inside the house. And then when they find somebody who's not on the list of somebody who got the needle plunged into their arms, they're going to kick the doors down and get you. So the bottom line is that we either have to win this thing or we're fucking dead. And this is a population culling. And to get back to this thing that I was talking about earlier about the AD, because I don't want people to forget it. And I want to emphasize this. They are going to, I said months ago, I said that as soon as I saw the details of this ADE mechanism, right, I knew it, Richie, the same feeling I got when I first glanced that Rockefeller document, and I said, okay, this is what's going to happen, definitely. The same feeling I got when I learned about the antibody dependent enhancement. This was pathogenic priming, this back door. And as soon as I saw that, I said, okay, this is what the plan is. This is it, man. And so I'm telling you and every one of my listeners and every one of your listeners now, I've never been so certain about these things. And I don't like to talk about stuff and be wrong. This is the plan. And I even said, and how do we know this? They, as a part of the research on this pathogenic priming or this antibody dependent enhancement, the worst name in the world for something, it's not an enhancement, it's a catastrophe. But one of the well-known things is that, well, it may provide some protection against the actual virus that you're being inoculated against. However, if a slight variation of the surface antigen in the form of a mutation occurs, it will be that mutation that rapidly exploits this backdoor. And I talked about it. I said, watch out, because they're going to be introducing the mutations. And now on the news, we're getting acclimatized to accept the fucking mutation. So what I'm saying is that everyone who gets the vaccine or flu shots is now got a backdoor. And once you get that backdoor in your veins, once that needle goes into your veins, you ain't getting it out of there. Because contrary to this idea, because you can see just as many doctors, I don't know about your epidemiologist, but I'll tell you, I've seen a lot of doctors that are saying, forget about what these fact checkers are saying about how it doesn't mutate DNA. The fact checkers will say anything, and we know that. The fact checker is the guy saying, kids, get into the van. The candy is delicious.
Yeah. Okay. I totally respect you saying that. And my listener, Claire, I think is completely genuine. She's saying, she's leaving the door open, not to be using any puns here, but you talking about the back door. But she said, look, Richie, if the stated ingredients are real, then this won't impact the genome. It won't impact the DNA.
I don't know her level. I you know, she's one.
I know, I'm just
expert.
Making the point. But can I just finish, because it's important?
Yeah.
Because she's open to the idea. She said, If the ingredients are stated, are the real ones, are the genuine ones, well, this vaccine, this particular vaccine, won't do that, won't affect your genome. But she's not saying that it's impossible. And she's leaving the door open to the ingredients, to there being some falsification of the ingredients. She's leaving that wide open. However, like me, I'm guessing she's also concerned by the sinister things that we heard from so-called experts, the people behind this vaccine, saying that this new mRNA vaccine, and this is what gives your theory some credibility, I think. This lends credibility to your theory about the backdoor, Harry. They've already said that when there's a mutation, they won't need to go back into the labs for too long to get a new vaccine. They'll just have to change the code or one letter in the current vaccine, and then they'll have a new one, and lending some credibility to what you're saying, we'll be vaccinated, well, to kingdom come, we'll be vaccinated 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 times a year for the rest of our lives. I'm not saying I don't believe you or I'm dismissing it, far from it. That's the reason you're here, because I like to listen to people like you. But she's just saying, and a lot of people in the know, but who like programs like this and programs like yours, they're saying that they're not convinced that this initial Pfizer vaccine is going to be DNA affecting. But they're open to be proved wrong. That's all I'm saying.
Okay, so the crux of my argument is not that whether the virus is DNA affecting or not. The backdoor mechanism is not necessarily a DNA. As a matter of fact, the backdoor mechanism exists outside of the realm of whether or not it affects DNA or not. So I'm not. I've never made the case that the backdoor mechanism hinges on this being a DNA modifying vaccine or not. So those are two completely different.
Fair enough.
Okay. Second of all, I don't know if this woman is working in Pfizer or Moderna or Genentech or whatever the hell these.
No, she works at a university. She doesn't work for any of the vaccine companies.
Okay. So, you know, I've spoken to so many doctors in my life that have varying degrees of understanding about all this stuff, and some have greater degree and they're not. Okay. Third of all, we don't know what the ingredients are. And fourth of all, we don't even know how if they're listing. I certainly don't think they're listing the ingredients. I've never seen anything like that. Fifth, we see that every company that's involved, especially you take Pfizer. Pfizer has, since 2000, has spent $4 billion in fines for wrongdoing, deception, lying, injury, rolling out vaccine. $4 billion in fines. Now, they made something like $60 billion a year. Every year on average, sometimes 40 billion, sometimes 60 billion, depending on what they're able to.
I don't trust them either. They're bastards. And Dr. Vernon Coleman has been on this program dozens of times saying the very same thing. They are bastards. No two ways about it. Now, just before you go on, and I am going to get out of your way, the Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine ingredients are in the public domain. And they include things like mRNA lipids, hexane, polyethylene, dietetractocyletamidine, I can't even pronounce half of this stuff, but it's out there anyway. And what my maid Claire is saying is, if those are the real ingredients, and she's not saying that she believes it to be absolutely the case, she doesn't know. Anyway, I'm not getting into that again, but those ingredients are in the public domain now. Harry, I'm on your side most of the time here. I don't trust these people. I wouldn't take the vaccine if I was told I'd be shot if I didn't take it. If they said to me, take it or we'll kill you, I wouldn't take it. That's a promise.
Why?
For the reasons you've listed. These are these are monumental liars. They've killed and injured more people than Stalin and Hitler and Pol Pot and I don't know put together. They're for years
for a flu that has a very minor effect and has that most people who get it, this according to their statements, didn't even know they had it. Yet the vaccine knocks you out for 2 days, has hospitalized something like, 30,000 people with that require hospitalization out of a 200,000 test group or something like this. This was, 3,000 were...
3%, wasn't it? 3%, yeah, which is very serious.
Very serious.
Very serious, yeah.
Injury is never a binary thing. Just because you walk out the door and you're still standing doesn't mean that there's an underlying injury that's occurring as you're walking out and in the next 10 years or 20, you know, the idea that you have to drop dead or explode as soon as a needle goes in. No, that's not how injury is caused. And they're counting on most of the injuries occurring at a later date. Okay, when that later date's going to be, I don't know. Whether that's going to be from a challenger virus that they introduce, and that's what I'm claiming. So I don't want to, what I don't want is this show to be, or my work to be the same as it was in 2014, where 6 years from now, 60 million people have died from a massive unexplained mutation. Oh, gee, we don't know. And I'm sitting there screaming at the top of my lungs going, this is the antibody dependent enhancement. And then the medical establishment delete, ban.
You're gone, yeah.
And then a few people like you go, wow, Harry was really prescient back then.
Of course I would, you see, because I'm a real journalist. The first person I would ring would be you to put you on the air and to say, look, sadly, you were right. Listen, we're only a few years away from the swine flu vaccine that left people with narcolepsy. I mean, Jesus Mary and Holy Saint Joseph. There aren't more horrible things to happen to you than to get narcolepsy. It's only a few years ago, yet I don't believe it. I don't believe it's ever been mentioned on UK television in the last 10 months. You would imagine, Harry, that it would be mentioned all the time. Nobody will speak about it.
Sure. Well, we have the, you know, I think I'm sure everyone, well, this is the thing too. Yes, that's a great point that you made. And that shows you that that's the conspiracy there. So because like we've seen the 60 Minutes with Mike Wallace back in the 1986 talking about the 1976 swine flu. I don't know if you've seen that video on our 60 Minutes program. And I remember as a child in 1976, I had to line up and that was, they said, oh, don't worry. It's not a needle. It's a gun that goes.
Yeah.
And shoots it in. And I, oh, okay, it's better than a needle. My arm swelled up. And so, you know, I got a little bit of the poison back then, too. And if so you ask the average American, have you seen any of this stuff? Do you know who Klaus Schwab is? Do you know about any of these people who are having difficulties with? No, I just saw Fauci say it's going to be great.
Good you for know, you.
Yeah, you know. Whoopi Goldberg just had Fauci on. He was looked like a really nice guy. And so while you and me and our type are talking about the disasters, Karen in the suburbs and the soccer moms have never even heard of any of this. And so when you present, when you start presenting this stuff, and this is the crux of our struggle. And I have an idea on how to deal with these people. Let's just pay them. Let's just pay, because, you know, it gets to the it's to the point where we need to start just saying, OK, look, you got this fucking Karen retard over here. Here's what we do. This person is such a dumb fuck and they are so isolated. They're just watching morning television and they refuse to lift a pinky. Let's do a collection because, you know, we need these people on our side. These freaking idiots. Right. So let's collect. Let's get $400. And let's say, okay, Karen, come over here, sit down. You want the 400 bucks, Karen? You want 400? Okay. Here, watch this Del Bigtree and Robert Kennedy videos. We're going to ask you some questions if you get them right. And then we have these five videos. You got to watch these, answer some questions. You'll get the money. And then
It's a terrible plan, Harry. If you give me 400 bucks, I'd watch a Little House on the Prairie marathon. I'd watch the Waltons episode 1 to episode 300 without a break, without a toilet break, Harry. Without a toilet break.
Well, what I'm saying is, but the hope is, you know, because, go with me on this one, Richie, is that these people have never lifted a finger to even be exposed to any of these facts. And what I'm saying is there are certain presentations of the facts that are indeed so strong that even a fucking Karen soccer mom retard.
Stop blaming Karen. I've got the answer to this because I worked at every level of the media, every level of it. For every brilliantly produced video made by you or by Del Bigtree or somebody else, the independent media is full of 99% total fucking garbage with production values that would be an embarrassment in the fucking 1920s. You know this. This is the problem. So we can't blame Karen. Karen gets up in the morning alongside Dave. You got Karen and Dave. They turn on CNBC. They turn on Fox News. They're bombarded by beautiful greens and reds and gold colours and sexy presenters telling them time and time again, you've got to have the vaccine. You've got to have the vaccine. We can't blame them. We got to take them with us somehow.
Well, that's what...
Final word to you, by the way. We got 3 minutes today, and I want you to come back next month. We're not going to have a 6-month gap before you come back on. Again, I'll give you my cell phone number. You can WhatsApp me, and we'll set it up. Okay. It'll be easier to connect to me. We've only got 3 minutes left. Final word to you. Great show today. Great that you're good. You take the criticism well, and you give it back in spades. I love that. Final word to you, Harry.
Yeah. We are seeing that this scamdemic is a technocratic power grab. It's the usurpation of the nation state that has been our system of governance since the 1650s or around there. And this is the takeover by the tech billionaires and their financiers. And that's what this is. And so we have to formulate messages messaging systems, ways to reach out to these people that are in the suburbs, Karens. And yeah, I'm with you on that. We have to figure out a way to reach them, but because where they go down, they're taking us down too. And they're being told that we are the dummies and they are the smarties. And so it's a hell of a fight we're up against, but we better figure out a solution or we're going down.
And soon. You can find Harry on BitChute. So when I put the link out on Twitter, sadly, Harry was kicked off of Twitter. He had an enormous following on there. I'll put the link out to your interview with Klaus Schwab, which is very good. You can also go to voxnews.com, voxnews.com. I will, before the rest of this day is done, through Skype, I'll drop you my mobile phone number so we can connect on WhatsApp, so it'll be easier for us to connect in the future. Because I get about 1,500, as you used to do, personal messages on Twitter, and I don't see very many of them. And it's the same on Skype. I'm never on there. And we'll arrange it for next month. Great to have you back on the programme. And thanks for giving us your time. I know you're busy. I really appreciate it, Harry.
All right. Tell them to sign up for the mailing list, and that just gives you notifications on when I'm going to do live shows. I do live shows. People love them.
Go on to voxnews.com, sign up for notifications, get the email notifications sent direct to you, and you'll catch Harry when he goes live. Thanks for your time today, my friend. Great to catch up with you again.
Awesome. I love you.
Great stuff, Harry. You too. Bye for now. Great stuff. Harry Vox there on the Richie Allen Radio Show for Tuesday, the 5th of January, 2020. I'm going out with this. It's freezing in Salford. It's absolutely freezing. You wouldn't put a cat out. And this might warm you up. This is the Beach Boys. That's the one. See you tomorrow. Bye now. Thanks, Harry.